Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The head of the Belarusian Football Association has been expelled from the Czech Republic. Tuesday saw the fifth highest number of new COVID cases ever. And COVID vaccines for children reached the Czech Republic within a fortnight. The Czech police have ordered the president of the Belarusian Football Association, Vladimir Bazanov, to leave the country. He and his wife were detained for several hours on Tuesday by migration police in the Moravian Silesian region after entering the country without a visa. They also breached regulations aimed at curbing the spread of the coronavirus, police said. Mr. Bazanov came to watch a Women's World Cup qualifier between the Czech Republic and Belarus. However, the game was cancelled after three Belarusian players tested positive for COVID. 21,973 new cases of COVID-19 were recorded in the Czech Republic on Tuesday. This represents a fall of nearly 4,000 on the same day last week, but is still the fifth highest one-day tally since the beginning of the pandemic. The national seven-day case incidence rate has fallen slightly to 1,193 per 100,000, but the figure is considerably higher in some regions. As of Tuesday, there were 6,527 people in Czech hospitals with the coronavirus, 1,069 of them in a critical condition. Coronavirus vaccines for children aged 5 to 11 should arrive in the Czech Republic on December 13th, a week earlier than previously announced, officials have said. The news follows Monday's announcement that registration for child vaccinations would begin on December 13th. The Czech Republic has ordered 300,000 doses for 5 to 11-year-olds, but there are nearly 800,000 children in this category, according to official data. Car maker Škoda Auto is at present producing at only 75 or 80% of capacity because of the COVID pandemic, Škoda board member Michal Olejkalaus told journalists on Tuesday. He said the company was lacking around 800 workers a day. About 70% of Škoda Auto's staff are vaccinated against the coronavirus. As well as a lack of staff, the company is currently struggling to source semiconductors. The candidate for Minister of Justice in the new Czech government, Pavel Blažek of the Civic Democrats, denies that he's being investigated by the police. Mr. Blažek made the comment after a meeting with President Miloš Zeman on Wednesday, the day after news outlets wrote that he was being investigated on suspicion of corruption. Mr. Zeman, who is frequently critical of the media, told the MP that he shouldn't let himself be beaten by journalists. The head of state is holding talks with all nominees for posts in the new cabinet. The Czech Lion National Film Awards will be held on March 5th at the traditional venue, the Dvořák Hall at Prague's Rudolfinum, organisers said on Wednesday. The event will be hosted for the first time by actor, director and writer Jiří Havelka. The nominations for the Czech Lions, which are voted on by the country's Film and Television Academy, will be announced on the 17th of January. This year's edition of the award ceremony was held behind closed doors in view of the COVID situation. Finally, the weather. It should be largely overcast in the Czech Republic on Thursday, with an average high temperature of 5 degrees Celsius. Friday is expected to see clear skies and freezing temperatures. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news. Hello there, this is Radio Prague International, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, Czechs are developing technology for missions to Mars, the Moon, or deep space. A new exhibition brings together Czech and Japanese blue dyeing traditions. And later, playing cards aimed at helping foreigners become integrated here in the Czech Republic. All that's coming up, so do please stay with us. Special equipment now being developed at the Brno University of Technology should soon help ensure the success of deep space missions. The researchers have created a thermal switch that can regulate heat in probes or satellites. While that may sound simple, temperatures vary drastically in space. If a single electronic part overheats or cools, it can jeopardize an entire mission. Brian Kennedy reports.
Jakub Maszek of the university's Institute of Aerospace Engineering tests working models in the facility's so-called thermo-vacuum chamber. That chamber simulates the unforgiving conditions electronic equipment must endure in space, from 80 degrees Celsius to 150 degrees below freezing, and intense atmospheric pressure.
The chamber is a 30 centimeter large tube. We are able to set the pressure up to 10 to the negative third cubed Pascal, which corresponds to the simulation of the space environment. And we can be able to introduce carbon dioxide to simulate the Martian atmosphere.
Since 2015, the Institute has been working on producing a miniaturized heat switch prototype directly for the European Space Agency that functions in simulated deep space and Martian atmospheric conditions. Jakub Maszek says such cooperation is uncommon.
We have become a so-called prime contractor, which is a position where the university is the primary supplier and communicates directly with the European Space Agency. It is a relatively unique model for a Czech university.
The research team in Brno are testing the environmental and mechanical measures of the miniaturized heat switch, which is about 3 by 5 centimeters and weighs only 150 grams. Yet it must be capable of autonomous and powerless temperature regulation, primarily for use in probes and satellites. Researcher Jakub Maszek again.
This device was uniquely built to test a heat switch. Every probe or satellite has electronics that must not overheat or freeze. There are exceptionally low and high temperatures in space, so electronics, batteries and so on need thermal insulation. The switch is a universal device for use on any satellite, probe or vehicle, whether on the Moon or on Mars. It has a piston comprised of a paraffin capsule. The paraffin is the material that melts and moves the piston. When it shifts, the contact is mechanically closed and the heat is dissipated. When the temperature drops below a certain level, the paraffin solidifies again, the piston moves back, the contact opens and the heat is no longer dissipated.
Apart from that thermal switch, researchers at the Institute of Aerospace Engineering in Brno are now also working on developing a prototype circuit breaker. Despite the strict supervision of the European Space Agency, the team also lets engineering students work on some aspects of development. Perhaps one day, the fruits of their labor will make it to Mars.
A new exhibition focusing on the indigo blue dyeing tradition in the Czech Republic and Japan is currently underway at the Museum of Decorative Arts in Prague. Called Fashion in Blue, it presents the genesis of the blueprint technology in the East and West, and examines how it's used in contemporary fashion and art. Ruth Frankova has more.
The exhibition dedicated to the indigo blue dyeing tradition in the Czech lands and Japan was initiated by Japanese curator Setsuko Shibata. It was originally supposed to take place last spring to mark the 100th anniversary of the establishment of Czech-Japanese diplomatic relations, but it was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Markéta Winglerová, curator of the textile collection at the Museum of Decorative Arts, says that when preparing the exhibition, they started by exploring what the Czech and Japanese blueprint techniques have in common.
Protože jak jsme se do toho víc ponořovali, tak jsme zjistili, že tam ty techniky jsou tak různé.
When we started to study the techniques in greater detail, we discovered that they're actually quite different. To be more precise, we only have one technique here in the Czech Republic, the blueprint, while in Japan there are more of them and they're much more intricate. Also, blueprint came to this region from the Far East, so we cannot really say that it originated here. So the only thing they really have in common is the blue color, the indigo.
A potom ty technologie jsou opravdu různé.
Another thing the two traditions have in common, says Mrs. Winglerová, is the fact that they have almost disappeared as a result of industrialization and the rise of the fast fashion industry. The Czech blue dyeing tradition, which is part of the UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage List, dates to the 18th century and enjoyed its heyday during the 19th century. Today there are only two family-run workshops in South Moravia that keep the tradition alive, but in recent years it has seen something of a revival, says Mrs. Winglerová.
A lot of young designers who are interested in sustainability and local production are returning to old craft traditions, and blueprinting is one of them. That's why we also present the work of a younger generation of designers who have used blueprint, either in a single collection or repeatedly. It's a kind of challenge that has attracted them.
As a counterpart to the local exhibits, which also include Moravian folk costumes and contemporary blueprint fabrics, the exhibition showcases a diverse selection of Japanese textiles made with the blue dyeing technology.
Visitors can see yukatas, which are lighter summer garments, as well as traditional kimonos. There are also hanging textiles and examples of Japanese printing patterns. So I would say it is a confrontational exhibition, which definitely doesn't want to bring one of the two traditions to the fore. To the contrary, it wants to show how exquisite both of them are.
The exhibition Fashion in Blue, Indigo in Japanese and Czech Textile Then and Now will be on display at the Museum of Decorative Arts until the 20th of February.
Alisa Yamada has been living in Prague for almost 8 years now. Like many young American arrivals, she first landed work teaching English. She later got into website copywriting and UX writing, and now has launched Czech Deck. It's a set of playing cards illustrating some of her favorite aspects of Czech culture, along with fun facts, day trip ideas, and some key language phrases. Brian Kennedy began by asking Alisa Yamada how she came to settle here in Prague.
So I moved here in 2014, so it's been almost 8 years, and I came from Portland, actually. That's when I finished my university studies. But I'm originally from Hawaii. And I just wanted to travel around Europe for a bit, I'd say around 3 months. So I learned how to teach English and just got a feel for Prague and Czech Republic in general. And I decided to stay.
Mm-hmm. And so you did a TEFL teaching course, yep, or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So I took the TEFL course and learned how to teach English, and then started teaching here in Prague for a few years.
Okay, tell me a bit about those early days. Was there much in the way of culture shock or pleasant or unpleasant surprises about life here in Prague?
Oh, definitely. Especially in contrast to the States, I feel like there were a lot. But that's the cool part about it, too. In the early days, I was just collecting a bunch of experiences from people, from friends, from the working experiences. And I guess the biggest shock would be I feel like I'm kind of going back in time compared to the States. It's pretty cool, though. I mean, I guess there are a lot of pros and cons for everything, but there's a lot of history here and a lot of things that are still developing, which is cool to watch and progress over the years.
Mm-hmm. And how did you yourself transition from teaching English to copywriting and user experience writing?
Sure. So I was teaching English for many tech companies and just companies around Prague in general. And people would ask me if I could help them with the website or with English text, with proofreading and things like that. So slowly I moved into this. I was introduced into this whole landscape of just website copywriting. And I loved it. I really liked it. And I started going into that into more detail and found my way into user experience.
Alisa Yamada also loves travel, pub quizzes, and trivia nights, activities stymied by the coronavirus restrictions. After some weeks into last year's lockdown, that's when the Czech deck idea started to come together. The playing cards, she says, combine four elements: unique things she's learned about Czech culture and traditions, fun Czech trivia facts, tips for Prague hotspots and day trips that she would give to visiting friends and family. Each suit in the Czech deck, diamonds, clubs, hearts, and spades, has its own purpose. In a way, she says, she liked the idea of adapting her user experience writing skills to coming up with short, fun, and useful brief descriptions for each card.
About the cards themselves, it was during the lockdown last year due to the coronavirus, which may be coming again. Can you recall the exact moment when the idea came to you?
I think it wasn't really exactly just one moment. I think it was a fusion of different moments, and then bam. I thought, okay, maybe we should do this. Because I like playing games. I like playing card games and board games. And I just thought, huh, why isn't there something Czech-related, right? And I've been collecting all these experiences over the years, and I thought, what if I put all my ideas into a deck of cards, something easy to play that we can take around with us, something I can give to my own family and friends who are visiting Prague or interested in the culture in general. So, yeah. Each suit has their own purpose. So the diamonds are like day trip ideas. The suit of hearts are hot spots in Prague, like my personal favorites. And the suit of clubs are fun facts about Czech Republic. And the suit of spades are language flashcards of Czech phrases.
And did you do the designs yourself or work with a group of friends? Or how did the actual cards come to life?
Mm-hmm. So I sat down and sketched every single one, like with pencil and paper, and had help from a friend to digitize them.
And then you looked for a publisher or how?
Yeah, it was mostly a self-project. I got help from an online platform called Fiverr. So I paid someone to help me digitize the cards, and then I looked all around for somewhere to publish it. It's like a half-half thing. So part of it is in the UK and the other half is here in Czech Republic.
And did you get a lot of feedback from your Czech friends or other expats living here? Did you have kind of a draft set of cards that you played with?
So my partner at the time, I would ask him for advice and tips, making sure I have all the diacritics correct. I think that was the hardest part for me, making sure I have the accents and the spelling and the pronunciation correct in the cards. Because for the flashcard portion, for the useful phrases, there are pronunciation tips there. So that was the hardest thing to make sure it was accurate. But yeah, I showed it to a few friends and they loved it. I only made 20 at the beginning just to see how it would be and if people would like it. And it really took off. So I decided to make this a long-term thing.
Since this is radio and we don't have the cards in front of us, can you give me a few examples, let's say, starting with the diamonds? What might we find on them?
Oh, sure. Like what I have on the cards, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for diamonds, for example, I have Kutná Hora. So these are day trip ideas outside of Prague, so in the Czech Republic in general. So Kutná Hora is like a UNESCO chapel known for its unusual interior. So there's a bunch of skeletons in there. Recommend it. Another one is Bohemian Switzerland. So it's a combination of a few national parks with giant sandstone formations. So just a bunch of places that I like in the Czech Republic that I would recommend to friends and family as day trips. Okay, so clubs are fun facts. So I have one for pivo, which is beer, and there's some random facts under it. It says Czechia has 450 plus breweries, the highest consumption globally. And beer is often cheaper than water, bottled water. And there's a picture of a beer clinking.
Okay, moving on to hearts.
So for hearts, this is Prague attractions. So I have St. Nicholas Church, and on the description it says this is the most impressive Baroque church in Prague because even Linkin Park filmed their music video next to it.
Okay, I've learned something. Didn't know that.
Yeah, it's cool.
And lastly, spades.
Spades. Okay, this is useful. So these are the language flashcards, and this is Mluvite Anglicky with the help of the pronunciation in brackets, and directly underneath is the translation, which is Do you speak English?
Mm-hmm. Are you carrying a pack or two around with you everywhere you go these days?
I do, yeah, just in case, you know. Even if we get bored at a train station or something with friends, I just like to have a deck on me.
Mm-hmm. And you find it's a a good icebreaker. I kind of imagine you in a train carriage with some strangers and breaking out the cards and seeing what happens.
I've never done that, but that's an awesome idea. Why not?
Is there anything else you can tell me about just the general experience of making these cards, if you realized there was, I don't know, some false assumptions you had, or did you learn some new facts about the country or the culture?
I always thought Czech Republic was super interesting to begin with. So I think just putting it all together in one place, that was the greatest part. Just having it all like in my hand, in a deck. You know, favorite places, just phrases to have on hand. something to share with other people, and just to like have something physical and tangible to share with other people. That was the greatest thing about this.
And Alisa Yamada was talking there to my colleague, Brian Kennedy. That's all we have time for right now here on Radio Prague International. Thank you so much indeed for joining us. My name is Ian Willoughby, and we will speak to you again very soon.